This is your classical break, a chance to take a step back and enjoy some great music in the middle of a busy day. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we'll hear Henry Eccles' 11th Violin Sonata. Eccles was a violinist himself from a family of musicians, and while he was English, he ended up moving to Paris with a patron. He had to follow the money. This sonata is part of a group of 12 that he published in 1720, and I say published rather than wrote because he, quote, borrowed many of the movements from other composers. For example, the second movement of this sonata was written by an Italian composer named Francesco Bonporti. Eccles took it and he wrote the rest of the sonata around it. This kind of thing happened a lot, especially around Eccles' time. Even big-name composers like George Frideric Handel have been accused throughout the ages as being plagiarists for using other people's music in their own. And according to our standards today, they were. You couldn't just write out how many roads can a man walk down in your song and say, oh yeah, I wrote that. But we have to remember that this was a different time and music had a different place in society. Composers and musicians were generally employees of patrons, usually nobility or the church, who they would compose and perform for. So if the prince was having a party, he needed some music, he'd get his composer to do it. Easter's coming up, you need music, you get your composer, who's usually the church organist, to do it. There wasn't this idea of the composer as some standalone genius or the music as some kind of high-minded ideal, at least not in the way that we think of it now. It was more practical. It was kind of like a portrait. It's art, but it also served a more day-to-day purpose. Music publishing was also taking off around this time, and it offered another way to make some more money. A composer would sell them the right to publish their work, and they'd distribute it, they'd pay the composer accordingly. But the distribution was usually regional or national. They didn't have worldwide reach. And so a lot of pieces were known in certain areas and unknown in others. Some publishers and composers capitalized on this. They took stuff published elsewhere, slapped a new name on it, and sold it themselves. Some of them published pieces using a big composer's name, even if that composer didn't write the piece, figured that Bach or Handel would sell more than Joe Schmo's new violin sonata. So Eccles' borrowing really isn't that egregious compared to a lot of what was going on back then. Plus, the whole idea of taking something and reworking it was a pretty accepted practice. Think about hip-hop now. Composers took themes or melodies and played around with them, expanded them. That was part of the creative process. Remember, we're not talking about art on a pedestal. It's something that's a part of everyday life. And a nice tune is a nice tune, so why not reuse it, put your own spin on it? So when you listen to this sonata, I think you're really hearing Eccles. He wrote most of it, three-quarters of it. And there's also something about that second movement that he obviously really liked enough to add some more. He liked what Bonparti was doing. So maybe it's not so much plagiarism as a kind of cover, or like I said, even like sampling in hip-hop, where he's taking some existing movement and he's making something new out of it. Here's Thrax with, well, I guess Eccles and Bonparti's 11th Violin Sonata. Thank you. Eccles' 11th Violin Sonata, second movement by Bonporti. There's a bit of contention there, but I think they worked it well together, even if they never actually met each other. That was played by Thrax, and as usual, that recording is up on museopen.org. You can download it yourself. You can find a lot of other great recordings there as well under a Creative Commons license. It's all up on museopen.org. I'm Tyler Alderson, and tomorrow for your classical break, we'll be celebrating another composer that is based in Paris, Ravel, and his string quartet. Really beautiful, really interesting. I'll see you tomorrow.